Here's the off-speed pitch. Leon Durham smacks a chopper into shallow right. And the Cubs have a runner on base with no outs. Hey, Johnny!
It's Jimmy. It's not...
Hey, Johnny, did you know that the last time the Cubbies won the World Series, it was 1908?
You know what? I did know that. That's a long time.
Long time, yeah. 1908.
Mm-hmm.
In 1908, our president was Theodore Huxtable Roosevelt. Did you know that?
I didn't.
America's top export was fruit roll-ups. And the number one television show was The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, starring the $6 million man himself, Lee Majors.
I didn't even know we had television. None of that seems accurate at all.
And Addison Russell gets a piece of that one. Durham goes the second, 2 minutes on with none out.
You know, this is very interesting to me because clearly you've been following baseball, even though you passed away in 1998.
1998?
Yeah.
Holy cow, I'm dead.
All right, everybody, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text any time throughout the show. That, of course, was... Will Ferrell as Harry Carey on Jimmy Kimmel. You saw that this week, Roger, right?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
But what's hysterical? What was that, buddy? Okay. What was funny about that is, you know, he used to do that on Letterman all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and always classic. Love seeing that bit. I mean, it's hysterical that he does that. But I will tell you, what a game tonight.
It depends on your point of view.
Yeah, you know, I think right now, and Andy Mazur from WGN Sports joining us also this morning. Good morning to you, Andy.
Hey, Dave.
We're just going to have you work 24/7.
Yeah, it's okay. I can do it.
That's awesome. But now I feel like, you know, it's funny. I always sleep before the show, and I'm a little under the weather, too. And I literally went to bed almost when the game was over, but I am so hyped up, I can't sleep. Like, it's actually... made me kind of that sick. But I'm going to tell you, I love these Cubs. The fact that they have made it to the World Series is absolutely incredible. I love, love, love this team. I'm so proud of this team. So I'm not going to be one of those guys that's just going to bash and bash like I've been hearing on other stations on the way in too, listening to some of their post game. You know, there's two things I want to see. Is either number one, let's win tomorrow so we win a game at Wrigley, or... at the very least, so that we don't have to have the only team that has ever won the World Series at Wrigley Field be the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, that would not be good.
No.
Definitely not. You know, we were trying to be as optimistic as possible on our post-game show tonight. And, you know, without being ridiculous, I guess. I mean, listen, the Cubs have won three in a row or more 18 times during the regular season.
Right.
So, obviously, this is the World Series. It's a little bit of a different animal. You're facing very good pitching. You're going to have to beat Corey Kluber if you're going to win the World Series now. It's just basically that's what it's come down to. But you can't win Game 6 until you win Game 5. So you can't get too ahead of yourself. And, you know, Joe Maddon, being the master of the mind, if you will, told the guys that he doesn't want them there, any of them there tomorrow dressed before 5:30. So he's basically trying to say, listen, again, we don't want to do too much. His whole mantra of do not let the pressure exceed the pleasure. And I think what you're seeing right now is a young team that really didn't face a whole lot of adversity during the year. And a young team that's maybe trying to take on a little bit too much. Javi Baez looks lost at the plate right now.
He does.
Because,
yeah.
You know, and I think
he's swinging at everything.
Montero,
you know.
Yeah, Miguel Montero put it really well tonight in a series of quotes that we saw on Twitter tonight about, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said basically these guys think they're going to go up and hit a grand slam with nobody on base.
Right.
And, you know, you just got to do your thing. Now, you look at being down 3-1, all the expectations go to the Indians. So no matter what the, you know, the Cubs won 103 games in the regular season and were the best team in baseball record-wise all year, it's all on the Indians now. So the Cubs should be relaxed tomorrow. They should be back to what they've done all year. And you never know what can get you on a roll. I mean, look at what happened as far as the bats were concerned in the Dodgers series. It was a bunt.
Yeah.
It got everything going.
Yeah.
It's a funny game. And again, while I realize the odds are very much stacked against them, I sat and witnessed to a 3-1 comeback, unfortunately for me and for Cub fans, in 2003. The Marlins came back from 3-1 down to go to the World Series themselves. So, again, it's not a situation where you can say, oh, book it, it's going to happen. But it's also not a situation where you can say, book it, the game tomorrow doesn't mean anything, and it's over. So, you got to keep your belief, you know.
But if you're Joe Maddon right now, what are you doing to? Are you going to shake up the batting order? Are you going to do something to give it a little bit of a shot in the arm, something different tonight?
I think he's tried. I don't think there's really anything left that he can do at this point that would mean a shakeup or anything like that. I think we're past that. I think we're kind of past the point of effect for that. You know, I think basically, seriously, what just has to happen is these guys just have to realize what they've done all year and what has made them successful all year, and that's playing with a smile on your face. That's playing like Joe Maddon wants you to play, you know, free and easy. And it won them 103 baseball games during the regular season. It's so easy for us to sit here on the sidelines and, you know, not be wrapped up in the pressures of the national stage and all the expectations that were placed upon them, and say, hey, just relax, you know, because I can't relax during the game.
No, I can't either.
What that's like, you know.
Andy, can I ask you about the catchers? Ross was real good in the NLDS and LCS. We're seeing Contreras. Does he match up better against the Indians than Ross does? I just think that Ross behind the plate and at the bat would kind of help the spirits a bit. He always seems to be a lightning rod for fans and for the team.
Well, he'll play tonight. That's no doubt, because John Lester is going to be on the mound. So he's basically John's personal catcher.
Okay.
I think, Roger, to be honest with you, I think what's going on there is basically for defensive purposes, and the fact that Contreras has a better arm and is a better defender, especially when you're facing when you're throwing guys that don't hold runners on all that well. The Indians were among the top five in the league in stolen bases this year. Lester notoriously does not hold on runners. You know, David Ross is a good catcher, a little older, but Jake Arrieta is not a guy that holds on a ton of runners. They don't run much on Kyle Hendricks. Lackey does a better job of holding runners on, but it was basically and mainly more for defense than it was for offense. But Contreras has kind of fallen to the group of, you know, the young guys that have really started to squeeze the bats very tightly and are really trying to swing for the fences every time they're up, rather than just doing what made them successful during the year. And again, like I said, it's easy for me to sit here and say that sitting on my couch and not having to face Corey Kluber and his disappearing slider and his two-seam fastball. But that's basically what's going to have to happen. They're just going to have to realize now that it's a one-game series every night for the next three nights if they can keep it going.
Yeah, Andy, I like what you said there in terms of just they need to relax, and the idea of getting to the ballpark at 5:30 tomorrow, just kind of going in their groove. It's really, really necessary. And so the question then becomes, the mental mistakes were a lot last night, and how do you get above that? Because physical errors you can deal with. It happens. We're human. But the mental errors where, you know, Bryant shouldn't throw that ball on the charging ball to third base. Montgomery's got to go to third on that ball back to him. The other ball back to him, he should go to second base. How do they get above those mistakes and make sure the fundamentals are back in their mind going into a big game?
It's just, again, and I hate to be a broken record, Joey, it's basically going back to what made them successful. And they just have to be in the moment there. You know, it's so easy to get back into the swing of things, as easy as it is to get out. You can get yourself back in. You know, a great defensive play, you know, or a great throw, or a clutch base hit. They all start to compound on each other. Once things start to go badly, you notice that they snowball. I mean, everybody talks about, oh, good hitting is contagious, great pitching is contagious. Well, you know what? Bad defense is contagious, and offensive slumps are contagious, because what happens is you see a guy in front of you making an error. So what are you going to do the next time the ball hits you? You want to make a spectacular play and save the day and be a hero. Okay, well, you know what? The situation may not dictate that. The situation may just dictate, listen, make a sound fundamental play and throw the guy out at second base. So, like I said, as easy as it is to get out of whack is as easy as it is to get back in whack. And hopefully it takes just that be that simple in the first inning of tomorrow's game.
I was looking at the numbers and how they will change if the Cubs win Game 5 tomorrow and send the series back to Cleveland. It said Cubs would be down 3-2, of course, final games on the road. Teams down 3-2 and best of 7 have come back to win 29 times in 98 chances, or about 30% of the time. With Game 6 and 7 on the road, a team down 3-2 has come back to win 21% of the time. Still not great odds, but not impossible.
No, like I said, I saw it happen, so I know that it's possible. It's not probable, but it's possible. And you know, like I said, I mean, this team has won, strung together wins on several occasions. I mean, you have to still feel pretty good if you're a Cub fan. If you can get the pitching that you need to get, you have to feel comfortable with Lester going tomorrow or tonight. Excuse me. Arrieta would be scheduled for Game 6. And Kyle Hendricks would be scheduled for Game 7. These are guys that have won baseball games this year and have pitched very well. I think Jake Arrieta was very, very good in Game 2. John Lester wasn't horrible in Game 1, but, you know, this is a guy that won 19 baseball games for you this year. So you feel good. Pitching-wise, I still think at this point, if you're talking about the starters and the starters only, the Cubs have the edge until you get to Game 7. And even then, it's, if you get to Game 7, anything's possible. I was telling Mark Harmon on the air tonight, you know, you get to a Game 7, it's a coin flip. I mean, that's yeah. basically what it turns into.
It's starting over. It's starting over again.
It's a one-game series.
All right, more Cubs with Andy Mazur next on 720 WGN. In the same ballpark, a diamond our jewel, the home of our joy and our tears. Keeping traditions and wishes made new. Place where our grandfathers, fathers, they grew. Spiritual feeling if I ever knew. And if you ain't been, I am sorry for you. When the day comes for that last winning run, and I'm crying and covered in beer, I look to the sky and know I was right to think someday we'll go all the way. Yeah, someday. All right, Dave Plyer, back with you on 720 WGN, along with Andy Mazur from WGN Sports. So tonight, what is the best scenario we can hope for, Andy?
Best scenario is to get out to a nice early lead and make it easy for John Lester, make it an easy night for the bullpen, make it an easy night for the fans' heartbeats,
yeah.
Which would be nice. And it would be nice to see one of the young guys get up early and get a base hit. You know, that could be as simple as it gets, you know, just to kind of get things back on a track here. And to try to avoid those, oh no, here we go again moments where, you know, I think you and I have, and a lot of Cub fans have kind of visited in our minds the last couple of nights. So it'd be nice to do that. It would, like you said before too, it'd be nice to get a win at Wrigley and head to Cleveland. And that's basically what the Cubs have to do tonight is basically say, listen, we want to play another game at Cleveland.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
As weird as that sounds to say, you know, we want to play there. So.
We do. Okay. And we don't want them to win at Wrigley. We have never won a World Series. We've never played a World Series, really, at Wrigley. So we don't want another team to take that over. Have you noticed, by the way, watching some of the game, Andy, and I say this with all due respect, because I know when you're at a game, and I'm going tonight to the game, that how despondent you can be when things aren't going your way. But, you know, there isn't the rally that I've seen in some of these other playoffs series with the Dodgers and the Giants, where you really saw people standing up since the third inning, and you're not sitting down for the entire game. The looks on people's faces, is it because they paid $3,000-$7,000 for a ticket, and now they got to go home and say, "Yeah, I went to the World Series, and that's the one we lost," or whatever it might be. What is it that I'm not? You know, like I think I finally saw at the end of the seventh inning or the eighth inning, people finally standing and rallying a little bit. But over the last couple of games, I just haven't seen that spirit. And again, I know how it is being in the field and being despondent, but you gotta pump these guys up.
Yeah, I think the air has come out of the stadium a couple of times just after, especially tonight. The Cubs got the early 1-0 lead, and the next thing you know, they're down 2-1.
Right.
And I really believe this to be true. I mean, as much as everybody is so excited that they got to the World Series, there's great expectations on this team. And I think that natural inclination to kind of go, it's hard to get fired up as a fan when, you know, your team scores a run, you see the other team score two.
Yeah.
And they've got one of the best pitchers in baseball going against you. So, you know, you're down by one, and it seems like you're down by 10.
Right.
So I get it. And you know, some of it may have to do with the prices that people are paying and getting sticker shock on those tickets and things of that nature. I would expect that things will be very rowdy again early on at Wrigley, and hopefully the Cubs can ride that wave of emotion and let the fans keep it going. I mean, it depends on what the Cubs do. I mean, it's hard to manufacture excitement. I mean,
right.
you either are or you're not. I mean, it's just as simple as that. So,
well, I'm keeping good thoughts. I'm keeping good thoughts.
I got one quick question.
Yep.
When the heck did they let rally hats into Wrigley Field?
I'm sorry.
I was out in the left field bleachers back in the 60s, early 70s. Nobody turned their baseball cap inside out.
I was at a bar the other day, and everybody was turning their hats inside out.
Why? When did that become a thing in Chicago? Did I miss something?
You missed it.
I think you may have missed the craze. It started in the 90s. But,
my God.
Yeah.
All right.
Turn that hat inside out, Roger. Turn it inside out. Andy, get some sleep, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right.
Take care. All right. Sounds good. And I got to tell you, Roger, congratulations to you. This weekend, 10 years on the air here at WGN.
Yeah. I remember it very vividly because it was Halloween weekend 10 years ago. I was still teaching. And I came in to sit in with Christopher Michaels. And I did several newscasts. And then I think I started the next weekend on Friday nights with Nick and Brian and a whole bunch of other people that did the overnights while I taught all week long, and then came in and on Friday nights and worked till Saturday morning.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's been a blast. How much, you know, working at WGN has always been a dream of mine. And I'm just ecstatic that I'm still able to do this.
Yeah.
And they still, you know, let my pass card still work at the door.
Right,
you
know? Exactly. I know. That's always the test of time, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, congratulations. Always great having you here, Roger.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.